For our study this afternoon, I'm going to revisit the means of grace that Bridges has already presented to us, the means of grace of prayer. But I want to think especially about what we are proposing for the congregation, and that is that the women of the congregation would have a time for prayer and caring for one another. This fits under that larger heading, and I'm going to develop that this afternoon. It's something that we have practiced from time to time in past, and it's something as well that there are several different women of the congregation that have desired this to take place, a time to gather together, to pray together, and to care for one another. We're going to be promoting such a time over the summertime, once a month over the summer, on the first Lord's Day of each month. We're going to designate the morning Sunday school period for the women to gather during that time. I'll have some more practical things about that a little bit later, but first of all, let me give you a couple of thoughts just about prayer and missions and caring for one another, and then some thoughts connecting that to the women of the church especially, and then some practical steps. Just to start off with, I remind you that prayer is one of those means of grace that we've examined that are part of the disciplines of grace. It's something that God has given to us for our growth, so that you may be nurtured and strengthened in your faith in Jesus Christ. It's something that, as we examined it earlier, we were especially impressed with how important it is. I was reminded of a comment that John Piper makes in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad. He comments that life is war, and the work of missions of the church is something that is literally a warfare. First Timothy, Paul describes it this way. This is 1 Timothy 6:12. I've jotted down the wrong reference. There is no first. Well, I'm a Thessalonian, so that makes a difference. Sorry about that. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith, hold on eternal life, to which you are also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Elsewhere, Paul writes about how Satan is like a prowling lion, and we've thought about that. You can see and read this on your own in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 5. There, Paul talks about how Satan targets our faith for destruction. There's a call for perseverance in faith, and perseverance that has been part of our study of the disciplines of grace. And it's very important to be reminded that we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. We do have the blessing of knowing that God causes us to persevere in faith. But we've also been led by our study to be reminded that God uses special means in that process. And prayer is one of those means. When John Piper talks about life being war, he applies that to the subject of prayer in a very memorable way. He says that people who are living under the threat of war live differently than those who are living under the enjoyment of peace. So he describes that and says that if you are living in peace, then prayer might look like someone sitting in their den and getting on the intercom and asking for some ice cream to be brought in because of the relative ease in which we are living. But someone who is in warfare in the trenches and is calling desperately for reinforcements to come or for covering fire to be laid down because the enemy is pressing. And your prayers can reflect that. He is urging us as a people of God to recognize that we do live in a period of spiritual warfare rather than being at peacetime, so that our prayers would be more of the character of asking the God of heaven to help and to deliver rather than asking for goodies on the couch. A very memorable way of thinking about that. Prayer is given as a means of grace that we've looked at, and very particularly missions is given as a field for prayer in the life of the church. I'll turn over to John 15:16. This is right in the middle of Jesus' discussion about the vine and the branches, the idea of abiding in Christ. And in the midst of that, in verse 16, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give you." There's much to be said on that passage, but what I want you to identify here is the importance of abiding in Christ. There's the sense of the disciplines of grace that we've been talking about. He links prayer to that. He says, pray that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give you. But nestled right in the middle of that, Jesus says, "I'm sending you out to bear fruit." And he even says, "I will that you would bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain." And then immediately he connects prayer to that fruitfulness. He says, "Just listen to that verse again. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask in the Father, in my name, he may give you." So Jesus connects the grace and the discipline of prayer to fruitfulness. And I'm tying that directly to missions, that we pray for the extending of the kingdom. We pray very directly and very deliberately right here in Stillwater for those that we're sharing the gospel with. Family members or co-workers that we know need Jesus Christ, and we're praying for them by name. Some are internationals, and we're asking God to help them to understand the Scriptures. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about, and we have the blessing of the promises of Jesus Christ to motivate us to pray for these things. We also pray more broadly for the work of the mission, as we've heard today, the mission of South Sudan and a variety of other missions around the world. Again, it's connected to the promise of God and to the discipline of prayer. And I want you to be encouraged by that, to be able to see that this is Christ's will. And if it is Christ's will, we have the strength of his promises to pray for these things and to labor in these ways. A couple of weeks ago, when I was teaching on prayer, I read a quote by Calvin that I enjoyed, that prayer is a kind of conversation between men and God by which they gain entrance into the heavenly sanctuary and personally address him on the strength of his promises, with the result that in their distress they see that they have not vainly believed his word. I like that because it highlights the fact that prayer springs from the vital connection that we have with a living, real, heavenly Father. It also suggests the connection between our prayers or our words, and Scripture, or God's words. A conversation means that there are two people communicating back and forth to each other. We can do that in prayer by, as we often do, using Scripture when we pray. I've highlighted Matthew Henry's method for prayer before. It's a method that we've used periodically, especially when we've had special seasons of prayer. We've had Thanksgiving prayer services or special mission needs that have prompted us to pray. And I've used Matthew Henry's program or Matthew Henry's method of prayer where he lines out Scripture that speak to our hearts about these issues. They're God's words. And then we respond in kind. We converse with God. We speak to Him about the things that the Lord brings up in those Scriptures. That will be always useful to you in the Christian life, but it will also be a suggestion for the ladies to follow during your prayer time that's coming up. Let me transition to that. I wanted to say why it is that we want to give the ladies time to pray and to care for each other. The first reason is life is war, and the second is that God has given us prayer. Those are the things that I've just said. But let me connect especially the ladies to this in a way that I hope will encourage you to see that this is something that God has given in a special way into your hands, not to the exclusion of the men. Men are given to this as well. But I want you to look at a couple of different passages with me that are going to demonstrate this. Turn to Philippians 4:3. Philippians 4:3 says, yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. There's a whole setting here. There's some discord between two women, and there's prayer being offered up for those women so that they would be restored to their fruitful ministry. And they do have fruitful ministry. Paul identifies them as ones who have labored side by side with Paul in the gospel ministry. This is something that they were active in doing. I'm not calling for women ministers. That's a different subject completely. We believe that God has given the office of elder and preacher to men. But Paul very directly identifies women who were involved or engaged in a level of gospel with him and with his fellow workers. And identifies them as their names are in the book of life. This is something that God has given to women as well as to men to labor in the gospel. It's not something that is reserved just for men to speak of Jesus Christ to others or to pray for the work of the gospel. Connecting prayer to that gospel ministry is part of the reason we want to do this, is that the Lord has stirred many of your hearts to reach out to non-Christians. And we want to equip you and enable you to continue that reaching out by giving you a special time to gather to pray for that. And then look at Romans 16. Romans 16 has mainly a lot of greetings that Paul gives to the church. But I want you to notice the women that are described here and the way they are described in this chapter. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Kankera, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. By the way, this is a passage that is descriptive again of a woman who is engaged in some type of mercy ministry, most likely. She is a servant of the church. And then it goes on, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow laborers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stichus, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Perses, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nerusus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. It's not a chapter read very often, and not very often out loud, so you stumble over the names unless you're Scorby or something like that. But note how many of the women are described here, being instrumental in the life of the church and being greeted by Paul, those who have labored in the Lord. He describes one as a mother to him and to other brethren. So we're designating a time for the ladies to pray together and a time for the ladies to care for one another. Life is war, and because of that, our prayers are important. Because of that, it's important for women to have opportunity to hold each other up in prayer. I'm running out of time, so I'll assign you to read Titus 2, where you can read about the care of older women and younger women together, and how this is something that is given by God to the church for your good. Practically speaking, then, we are designating the Sunday school hour as a time when you're normally here already, rather than adding on a separate time for that meeting as an afterthought or anything like that. We want to communicate that we do think this is important, and we want to support you in the desire to pray and to care for each other. During that time, we anticipate it being divided up into two different segments: a time to pray for missions, and then a time to share together the concerns that you have for your life and for your godliness, and then prayer for each other. We've talked about some of the format that might take, and we're encouraging you to follow a pattern that Matthew Henry sets forward, so that there will be scripture that would be read, and then three or four that would pray that would along the lines of that prayer request that is prompted by scripture, and then giving time to care for one another by sharing requests and breaking up maybe into small groups or all together praying. We'll leave that into your hands. This is designed for women that are high school age and up. If you're teaching a Sabbath school class, you can ask for a substitute, and one of the men will be happy to step forward to provide that being a substitute for your class. For those that aren't teaching a class, we plan on some other things for the men, possibly prayer of our own, sermon discussion, or we have a portion of a video presentation that we only watched half of that we'll use next week. The men will be busy with other things. Again, this is to both encourage you and to promote this time of prayer and care for the women of the congregation.